You ready?
Yeah.
You ready? All right, hold on. Here we go.
Welcome to the My Aggie Nation podcast. In this week's episode, we talk with George Yancha of the Clayton, Texas Aggie baseball team to preview their upcoming season. We also go around the horn on some A&M sports this week and see what's going on around there, and much, much more. So let's get right to it. I'm going to pass it off to that guy across the counter from me, President Zachary Taylor.
That guy across the counter from you, me, Zach Taylor. Dun-dun-dun.
So
we got that going for us today. By the way, we're not periscoping.
No.
Because you can't see out of one eye.
No, I'm basically a pirate right now.
Me name be Travis Brown.
I was kind of surprised they haven't given me an eye patch yet. But yeah, no, I woke up on Monday morning, and after going to the eye doctor, it has been determined that I have cut my eye.
Which does not sound fun at all.
No, it wasn't. There was lots
it doesn't look fun either. You look pretty ugly today.
Yeah, I know. That's mostly the reason why we aren't periscoping. I kind of look like a monster. The slicing of the eye brings about lots of light sensitivity and pain
problems
and blurry vision. And yeah, so have another eye doctor appointment today. Maybe we can get this squared away.
I was wondering, because it sounds a little hollow there on your mic,
yeah.
So I didn't know if maybe turning it to the side might help some.
Is this better?
It sounds better.
Yeah, it does. Why am I so...
Well, typically, because maybe if you're like talking towards me, it's picking it up on my mic as well. And so the ergo, it
so
sounds...
So I need to be like this way?
Yeah. Just give me the side eye.
Okay. Well,
give me
I need... Then I
get
really...
Get the bad eye.
Yeah, I really need to be like going this way because I can actually see you.
I'm just glad they haven't had to amputate it yet, so that's a plus.
Yeah, me too.
Because then you could really wear an eye patch.
But I'm about ready to get to that point because... Yeah. It is not a whole lot of fun.
That's why I'm glad I got that 2020 dog. Don't be messing with the eyes at all.
Well, so anyway, we will power through this as only we can on the My Aggie Nation podcast.
If it makes you feel any better, I didn't sleep very well last night. So
well, I'm glad.
All right, good, because we can be in pain together. That's good.
Yeah. Well, you know, it is a busy time for A&M sports right now across the board. There's women's and men's basketball going on. There's softball gearing up. Baseball gears up here in a week out at Bluebell Park. And, you know, also got golf and swimming and tennis. And it is a busy time for A&M sports. And
golf is in Hawaii. The guys, the men's
rough,
golf team is in Hawaii.
It's a rough life.
Yeah, sounds awful.
Yeah. So I think the most notable thing of this past week has been the start of the A&M softball season, and got off to a great start at that Aggie Softball Classic last weekend.
Yeah, I can't get much better than 4-0, baby.
No.
Now, the bats, at times, need a little help from Joe Boo. They didn't quite wake up in time, but but they did wake up just in the nick of time, I should say, because they ended up pulling off a win, 3-2 win, I believe, Friday night over Lamar. And then a couple of big wins on Saturday, and then another win on Sunday.
Yeah, that Lamar team is pretty scrappy, to say the least. But, you know, a solid start to the A&M softball team. I mean, on paper, this has been my argument all year. On paper, that A&M softball team should probably be one of the best teams at A&M this year. Because they return so many good players.
Yeah, I think so. The only problem that you have with that is you're playing in the SEC, which has a lot of great softball teams. But then again, in the regular season, they don't have to play Bama. They don't have to play LSU. Those are two of the top teams. Auburn, don't leave out the Lady Tigers either. So they don't have to play them in the regular season, which bodes well, at least for A&M, when it comes to playing teams they can beat. Now, for your RPI, that doesn't help much, because if you end up beating a team that like Auburn or LSU or Alabama, that helps your chances of maybe being a host. But yeah, they played a great series. I mentioned 3-2. They actually went 2-1 Friday night, 3-2 over Lamar on Sunday, and got wins 8-5 and 9-1 over Central Michigan and Ohio State on Saturday.
And got used four different starting pitchers in that for each of those games in that four game stretch, which is solid because it's something that they didn't necessarily have last year. They really only had two solid starters last year, and really and truly, Samantha Schau separated herself as kind of the one go-to guy when I know Trinity Harrington has kind of suffered some back issues there last season. So good to see that they have some option. They've gotten deeper at that position.
Oh yeah, they've gotten a lot deeper, and Lexi Smith's going to help out a lot too. She didn't have a great weekend. She pinched in one game, and it was a start. Went five innings, gave up one earned run, but walked four and then struck out four. But in the fall, she was almost lights out. That's including facing the USSSA Pride, which is a professional team, as well as inter-squad scrimmages against her fellow teammates. And so she looked great in the fall, maybe off to a little bit slower start than she would like here in the spring. But again, that's somebody who's coming in from Temple College over in Temple and pretty much pitched every single game for them last year. So, yeah, it's good to have her on the squad, and that was something, as you talked about, that Coach Evans was missing last season.
Interesting. Another interesting person to look out for is Sarah Hudick, transfer in here, who has experience playing not softball, but college baseball. And, man, I tell you what, she has an absolute cannon of an arm.
Yeah, we talked with Keeley about that last week. You know, coming in, obviously she's got a great arm, can play a great outfield, but she can also hit for power. And she didn't hit much at the junior college level. She was primarily a relief pitcher, left-handed relief pitcher coming in out of the pen, but she has shown throughout the practice and coming into this season that she can hit for power. She's just got to get acclimated back to that softball type swing, and that softball basically seeing the ball coming underhand as opposed to overhand.
Mm-hmm. And in the outfield, I mean, Keeley mentioned this last week, talking about how she can throw the ball from the warning track all the way into third base. We got to see her fire one from basically the warning track into home, one hop, perfect little one hop. Didn't end up getting the out, but man, that is a strong arm, good story there for the A&M softball team.
By the way, Sarah's father is John Hudek, who was a relief pitcher for the Houston Astros for several years. Actually was a, I believe he was an all-star, if I'm not mistaken. He was an all-star in 1994. I saw a video the other day.
That would have been the all-star game at the Temple Ballpark,
really?
In Arlington, I believe, isn't it? 94?
94. That was the first year that the ballpark was open. No, it was in
96
Pittsburgh.
96 was
yeah,
the...
Yeah, because right. I knew it was a couple of years later. This was actually in Pittsburgh. But I saw a video the other day that popped up on... I follow MLB Network on Facebook, their Facebook page, and it was a video. It was a fake intentional walk, and John Hudek was pitching. Tony Pena Sr. was catching. He's now, I believe, the third base coach for the Yankees. And they were, it looked like they were set up to have an intentional walk, and instead Tony Pena at the very last second jumps in his crouch. Hudek throws a strike over the outside corner, completely got the guy looking, and struck him out. So I thought that was kind of cool how it all came back around. But yeah, her dad was a major leaguer, and so she comes from a good pedigree.
There you go. Well, not that the team was actually just across the street, but the team that is, you know, housed across the street, the A&M women's basketball team, also came up with a big win this weekend. Gary Blair's first win in 8 tries over the Tennessee Lady Volunteers.
Which is crazy when you think about it and all the wins that Gary Blair's been able to muster. And that was a big-time win for them. Kyla Hilsman, and he talked about this at Media Day, I guess, yesterday. He believes that she's the most improved player in the SEC, and I don't think there's a lot of people that would argue that point. I mean, she is having a fantastic year as a big on a team that doesn't have a lot of depth. I mean, there for a few games, Blair was playing the same 5 players, almost all 40 minutes, maybe 6 players, Jazz Lumpkin coming in off the bench, but pretty much playing the exact same folks the entire game, and they've still been able to win and really have come on very strong here late in the season. They got a big test, though. They'll be playing LSU this week on Thursday, and then they're going to be back home and host Mississippi State as well as South Carolina to kind of round up the season. So those are going to be 2 big tests against them, but really doing well for that ball club.
Yeah, correct me if I'm wrong here, but I believe the narrative was that Hilsman netted got an offensive rebound and netted a bucket with 4 seconds left.
Yes.
To ensure that, to give A&M a win. They were trailing by a significant amount, I think, there towards the end of the game. if I'm not mistaken, had to make a little bit of a comeback.
Yeah, kind of a back and forth affair, but they were able to come back. And as you mentioned, Kyler with the game winning shot, 4 ticks left on the clock, and that was huge for sure.
Definitely. Moving on to football, you have Myles Garrett at the Lombardi Award ceremony down in Houston.
Oh, okay.
Wanting to...
I got thoughts. I got thoughts.
You got hot takes?
I
okay.
got hot takes
now,
on this one.
Now, stepping onto the soapbox, Zachary Taylor.
So social media, as we've known, can be a two-edged sword, a double-edged sword. It's great for some. It's bad for others. Sometimes it's good and bad at the same time. Myles Garrett has decided, and... which I think is a very intelligent, maybe ahead of his years move, to stay away from social media. Well, around the Lombardi Award ceremony, a video came out that was actually, I believe, from the College Football Playoff Awards back in December, in which he is seen making a plea to Jerry Jones. Please, Jerry, trade Tony Romo. Trade some players. Trade up. Come get me at supposedly number one. A lot of folks took this as, oh, well, he's a selfish guy. He doesn't want to play for the Cleveland Browns. Nobody wants to play for the Cleveland Browns. Let's just get that, right off the bat. Nobody wants to go to Cleveland. That being said, so many people on social media, whether it was Facebook or Twitter, automatically want to assume things about Myles Garrett, and they want to believe that he's about me. He's a selfish player. He is... Not coddled is the word, but very, what's the word I'm looking for? You know what I'm talking about. Yeah, well, self-centered, yeah. Very self-centered, very privileged, and that he's coming from a place of privilege and that he should just be glad to be in the NFL, da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Folks who do not know anything about him, folks who have never read an article about him, or followed him around, obviously, because he's not on social media, is one. And you also have this imposter that's doing Twitter for Myles Garrett, which is really freaking weird.
Yeah.
That you've got somebody who's acting like they're Myles Garrett on Twitter. And it's not Myles Garrett, by the way. He's not on Twitter. But you see this video and was ultimately a joke. Was it the smartest thing to do? Probably not. But the fact that people are going to condemn this guy already based on that. And normally, look, we follow these guys. We don't get close to these guys, but, I mean, we come to know them over the years. And Myles Garrett is one of those guys that the media has followed and talked to, always says the right thing, always does the right thing. Everything that you've seen from Myles Garrett, you've got to love. And I know that a lot of NFL teams have done plenty of research on that, and I don't think that they were deterred at all by that video. But the fact that people... keyboard warriors want to go out there and they want to try and make assumptions about a kid without knowing anything about him, without doing any kind of research on him, and automatically want to say that he's a selfish player? Come on! And look, I can call a spade, I can say, well, yeah, maybe this guy is a little drama. You could say that about Johnny. I think a lot of people around here knew that Johnny was a bit dramatic, and he was kind of this larger-than-life persona. I don't know if anybody... in College Station expected him to fail, but they didn't think that he was going to be one of those quiet guys that wasn't going to make any noise. But with Myles Garrett, having known him, just following him, seeing what he does, if you knew anything about him, you wouldn't make that assumption. And again, it's keyboard warriors that are out there that think that they know better than the NFL GM, which maybe some of them do know better than the Browns GM. But that being said... you know, can you fault him? Is Myles Garrett to be at fault? Is he? Are you going to call him or try and hold him accountable for this joke video that he made a couple of months ago? No. And you see everything that's on that he's done on the field, and you say, I would love to have that guy on my team. Thank you. Thank you very much. I'll be here all week. Thank you. And probably the rest of my life.
Well, no, I totally agree. I think that's just people who haven't actually followed Myles Garrett and know what he's about, kind of sounding off, lumping all millennials into one giant mold in one category, all in one keyboard swipe. But, it seems, I mean, granted, we know Myles Garrett is a fun-loving guy. He likes to, smile and have some fun. It kind of surprised me that he got baited into doing a video like this.
And I'm really wondering what's all behind it, like whether that was a friend or how on earth ESPN got a hold of it. And they basically put it out there without any kind of – it was taken somewhat out of context. They didn't provide any background as to when it was, where it was, who shot the video. And a guy who likes to stay off social media, you kind of wonder why Myles Garrett did that. Was it a smart move? Probably not. Is it going to hurt his draft stock? No.
No. I mean,
no.
Here's the deal. I mean, but it totally makes, especially if you don't know Myles Garrett, it makes even more sense because it's not even your generic, oh, I'm from North Texas and the Cowboys were my team growing up. He grew up probably no more than 5 miles from AT&T Stadium.
Yeah,
Arlington Martin is just down the street, and he played so many high school games and a handful of college games at AT&T Stadium and you know, grew up in the shadow of that stadium. So more so than most people, he would literally be going home.
And heaven forbid that somebody say that they'd like to play for their favorite team.
Sure.
Every kid growing up in the DFW area wants to play for the Dallas Cowboys or the Dallas Mavericks or for the Dallas Stars or for the Texas Rangers.
Sure, and you would be playing, and you'd be playing with Dak Prescott, a guy that I'm sure he probably knows, at least has had conversations with at SEC media days and
a guy he
whatnot.
Hit.
Sure, and even with some of the award circuits that he's had to do and stuff, I'm sure he knows of Zeke Elliott and
he knows that defensive line is a position of need for the Cowboys.
Sure.
So he knows that he could make an immediate impact, and he wouldn't be like these other idiots that Jerry Jones has drafted that can't stay off the weed.
Well, there you go. Here's the thing about it, too, that makes me want to just not give a whole lot of creed to those keyboard warriors, as you said.
Other than their keyboard warriors.
Right. Yeah. Looking at it, they're it's a joke because there's no way that the Cowboys could trade up to get into the number one spot.
They would literally have to trade the entire house.
I mean, there is almost, I can see Tony Romo is a Tony Romo trade is not going to get you into the number one.
No. And Jerry Jones wouldn't do that to Tony Romo anyway.
Right.
Jerry Jones is not going to trade Tony Romo to Cleveland, where he'll waste away the last few years of his life living by the lake in Cleveland playing for the Browns.
Right.
Nobody wants to live that way. It's a terrible way to live.
And I would have to think that Miles knows that, because guess what? He's saying that. He doesn't probably want to go to Cleveland. He's made every indication of, first off, saying, I really don't want to play where there's cold weather. He doesn't like cold weather. And then now going on with this little cowboy joke thing, he doesn't want to go to Cleveland. Now,
nobody,
I think he'll go to Cleveland.
Nobody is going to come out and advocate that they want to go to Cleveland. LeBron James didn't even like playing in Cleveland, and he's from there. He left and then came back.
Yeah.
I'm just saying nobody wants to play for the Browns, who have been a joke of a franchise the past few years. And it's just one of those situations where he made an offhand joke that people are getting all basically butthurt about, all the Cleveland Browns fans, because the life sucks being a Browns fan, and now they're getting spurned by somebody, some kid, and I understand their angst, but at the same time, you gotta step out of your zone and look at it and say, why would anybody want to come to Cleveland?
Yeah.
Nobody
yeah.
wants to come here.
Yeah.
It's obvious, and a lot of Browns fans, I think, actually know that. But no matter where he goes, Myles Garrett, I actually got in a conversation with a guy on Twitter about Myles Garrett taking plays off. I didn't see that.
He was hurt.
He was hurt, and I think that played a big role into it, in that he was injured ever since after that Arkansas game. He was not 100%, and so there might have been plays in which it wasn't around him, that either he was hampered by injury, wasn't as fast as he was, but the guy played hurt, and he had
sure.
every reason to sit out, because people already had him projected going into the season. So if you're just going to look at the stats and a couple of plays and say, oh, well, this guy's a selfish player, he's not going to play out of play, think again.
No, and there's definitely times he was out there that you could see he shouldn't have probably been out there. But with how impressive of a player he is, you got to think that maybe it would at least the coaching staff thought it might serve the defensive line well to throw him out there, maybe try to draw the double team and open things up for Deshaun Hall or one of the defensive guys.
Yeah, and I mean there were a couple of games there where he was only playing on third down.
Sure.
So again, we normally do not advocate, at least I don't like to. We're not going to play the homer card here. But to think that Myles Garrett is a selfish player without knowing anything about him, or to think that he's just like every other idiot out there, it just ain't so. He's different. He's different on the field, and he's different off the field. And that's something to keep in mind. And whatever team he goes to, I think he's going to make a great impact on. If he can stay healthy, hopefully. Fingers
definitely,
crossed.
Definitely. Well, I think that wraps up our tour around AM.
I'm all
sports.
Fired up. I'm flustered.
I gotta go cool Zach down here a little bit. You know, put some cool rags on his forehead and let him, you know,
drink
blow that
ice cold Dr. Pepper, cool me down.
Blow some of that steam out of his ears, and we'll be back with a little sit down interview we had with George Yoncha of the Texas A&M baseball team. That's next on the My Aggie Nation podcast.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the My Aggie Nation podcast. Zach Taylor alongside Travis Brown. We are live. I'm going to do it again. We're not live on location. We're on location here in the bowels of Bluebell Park, visiting with Fighting Texas Aggie baseball player George Yoncha. And George, first off, I wanted to ask, and I've been meaning to ask you this. How often do people butcher your last name, like teachers, calling out roll, things like that?
Every single time.
That's what I figured.
Every single time. I get something different, but I've learned to just roll with it.
Now, what's the origin of that name?
It's Czech.
Okay, that makes sense. There's a lot of Czech folks around the Texas area. Played quite a bit as a freshman early on last year, then towards the end a little bit more of a utility type guy. But how did you feel like last season went, and how did you feel like you learned and grew?
Well, it was definitely good to get some experience under my belt. I didn't play as good as I wanted to, obviously, but Austin Homan stepped in and did a tremendous job when I couldn't fill the spot. And it's something that kind of made me hungry as a player and made me want to get back out there and get better. And I think it was definitely a very good learning experience.
With lots of turnover from last year to this year, how do you kind of see your role going this year as one of the more veteran guys, since there was a lot of turnover?
Definitely. Me and Austin are the veterans on the dirt this year, and so we've kind of had to fall into the role of showing all the new guys how we do it on the dirt at A&M, and I've made the switch to third, which has been a lot of fun. It's been challenging, but it's been a lot of fun. So me and him on the left side, it's really fun for us to play together and be on the field at the same time.
Now, how much have you gotten to play third in the past? I mean,
honestly, I played third for about 10 games this summer, and that's the extent of my third base career.
Now, you were in the Northwoods League, right?
Yes, sir. Okay. So I played it for about 10 games up there, and then I started this spring playing third because I played short all fall. And it's definitely been challenging, but I'm comfortable now. I enjoy it, so it's time to get out there and play some games.
Well, an example of a guy who made that switch, I know Boomer White had been playing in the outfield, at least at TCU, and then made the swap over to third base. Have you reached out to Boomer at all to ask him about that transition or anything?
No, definitely. He's been here working out pretty much the whole offseason, so we've had a chance to kind of talk and go over some fundamental aspects of playing third, and then also the mental side of what we're going to do in certain situations. So he's also been a very big help because he was in the same position that I was, making that switch to third and not really playing it very much. So he's been a good guy to talk to about that.
I think your casual baseball fan will just kind of look at most any of the infield positions, maybe say first base, and kind of wonder, well, what's the difference? You mentioned some challenges. What is the most challenging part about switching to third base?
I think it's just reaction time, because third, the ball's going to get on you a lot faster than at shortstop. At shortstop, you're going to have time to play around it and get the hop you want, but sometimes at third you're just gonna have to sit down on it and knock it down. But I think that's been the most challenging part for me. But that being said, now that I'm used to it, I'm beginning to like it a lot.
Now, we've made it this far and I haven't mentioned it, but Travis is a TCU grad.
Don't hold that against him. He's okay for a TCU guy. Well, I mean, I'm just saying the past 2 years, I know you weren't here the year before, but last year especially, TCU coming in and getting the win in the Super Regional, how hungry did that make you guys to come back and take it even further and get to Omaha this year?
Well, we kind of knew last year being my first year that it happened the year before, and then for it to happen again, it was definitely heartbreaking. But we had our older guys that are back just come in. We started the year off right. We put in the work, and we spent all offseason preparing as best we can so that doesn't happen again. And I think we're in a great position that we get to that opportunity. It's not going to pass us up again.
We mentioned earlier, just talk about all the turnover like that. There is going to probably have to be a lot of new guys taking the field this year. Is there a guy that stood out to you that has really made an impact and you hope or might see make an impact early in the season?
I think there's two, actually. Number one being Cam Blake. He's been a guy who had a difficult time getting adjusted to the lifestyle, and he was late a couple times of weights, but that behind us, he's come on really strong. He's got a good head on him, and he's swinging the bat very well. And then number two is Braden Shoemake. He's going to be solid defensively, and he's off the charts where he's at right now from the offensive standpoint. I mean, he's 18, 19 years old, and he's got the head of a fifth-year senior. And he's got a very good approach, and he's going to do big things for us.
I was about to say, Coach Childress, as far as punctuality goes, he didn't have a lot of leniency there, right?
Not a whole lot.
He's kind of known for his punctuality.
He is, but at the same time, that's what makes us better. No. I mean, we know what we're going to get, and that's one great thing about Coach Childress is if you're doing good, he's going to tell you you're doing good. If you're doing bad, he's going to be the first one to tell you you're doing bad. So that's kind of a fine line there that we – find to communicate with him, but we know what we're going to get with him.
As a guy who's played a little ball and knows how that college baseball off-season grind goes, I take it y'all have seen your pitching staff a lot and faced them a lot at the plate. What are you seeing from them leading into the season now, especially returning some decent starting arms from last season?
They just continue to get better and better. We start to fall off. We go the first few weeks that they're only allowed like one breaking ball per at bat, just to make sure their arms are in shape. But just week after week, and after you face them for 15 times in a row, they start to kind of figure it out a little bit. But we got a lot of arms that are pitching really, really well. They've figured their stuff out, and their arms are in shape, so they're doing very well.
That being said, I know you guys have some characters on the ball club. Some of them graduated last year. Who's taken that role of maybe either the prankster or the guy who's always cutting y'all up?
Oh man, it's kind of hard to fill the shoes of Jonathan Maroney.
Yeah.
you got to sleep with one eye open around him.
Yeah.
But it's got to be Corbin Martin.
Okay.
He's just out there.
But I don't know if I'd ever peg Corbin like that. He's so quiet, at least with the media, but maybe he's a lot different.
Oh, yeah, he's always cutting up. But when it's time to go and it's game time, he puts a game face on. But other than that, I don't think there's a serious moment with Corbin Martin.
Okay.
I mean, there's a lot of good baseball questions and good outlook on the baseball season, but I think one of the most important things that people are really concerned about, have y'all heard each other's walk-up songs yet?
We got, for the first time, we got to on our Saturday scrimmage.
First off, yourself, what do you rock with the walk-up song?
So I'm switching it up this year, no more country.
Okay.
I'm actually going with old school rap for my first one. It's Angel by Shaggy.
Oh, okay.
And then the second one is Nine by Drake. And there's a story behind Nine. So I was telling my mom I was going to do a rap song, and she texted me and said, rap music's no good. And in the Drake song, it starts off with, Mama hit my phone and said the rap's no good. So that's kind of why I decided to pick that one.
That's awesome. So if you had to take yourself out of the equation, who has the next best walk-up?
John Kutosh.
What do you know what his is?
Snake Farm.
Hey, good old Ray Wiley Hubbard.
Going from old school rap to Ray Wiley Hubbard.
And
that's
he
a
actually,
good transition.
He bred corn snakes in high school.
Really?
So that's a fun fact about him. That's why he decided to pick that one. So That one's just a classic, and it's hard to beat that one.
That's the good kind of snake.
Oh yeah,
you get them in there and eat rats and things like that. Obviously, you guys opening up the season this weekend. How excited are you to get out there and play for real?
It's been a while since we got to play someone with a different uniform on, and that's going to be a good experience, especially with the young guys that we have. Finally getting to play that first game and having people in the stands and getting the whole atmosphere of what it takes to play here, and it's going to be nice to be able to go out there and show what we're made of.
Speaking of uniforms, a lot of buzz with the team with those throwbacks that y'all had this year. Have you been able to see them, put them on yet? What's been the whole take on the new throwback uniforms?
I think the whole team consensus is we love them. They're really, really old school. They're the mesh. The old school mesh jerseys, and I think we're still waiting on the hats to get in, but I think they're going to be pretty classy when we rig them out.
One of the only teams in the whole school program that gets to have a shot at Texas. What is that like? And knowing that is on the schedule and kind of getting to keep that rivalry going.
Well, it's awesome because we've all grown up having the Texas A&M rivalry. And it kind of went away when we switched conferences, but to bring it back last year and have it end the way it did last year, I think it just completely built back up the rivalry between the two schools. And it's going to be nice to go to Austin and hometown, go back to the hometown and put a show on.
Definitely.
Would be nice to go back to Austin. Guys, that's about all I've got. George, thanks so much for your time, man. Really do appreciate
it.
Good luck this weekend and the season, all right?
Thank you. Appreciate y'all having me.
Guys, that wraps up our visit with George Yancha. Again, the infielder playing third base this year for the Fighting Texas Aggies, and they do kick off that season this weekend at home at Bluebell Park. Well, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll keep this bad boy rolling. You're going to listen to My Aggie Nation podcast.
Welcome back to the My Aggie Nation podcast. Everything got in here just got a little bit cooler because the shades are on. Yes, that's right. I injured my eye and I have these very, very dorky. It's kind of like a snap bracelet, but it's like sunglasses lenses.
That's what you get when your eyes get dilated.
Put over my face and then I can put my glasses over those. And so let me tell you, I am one stylish man in the studio.
I wear
right now
my sunglasses at night,
but
even though it's morning on a Wednesday.
Pretty much, yeah. I Zach's over here after we got done with that first segment, and he's like, "Are you gonna make it?" And no, I don't think I was. So now
like you're all aboard that struggle bus this morning.
Yeah, bro. at least now if I'm struggling, he can't really see my eyes, so it's not like I'm like perpetually winking at him.
And now you got to convince people that you're not hungover.
Yeah, that's true too. So, interesting thing. We a little bit late on this, but it's something that I think you and me both have quite a soft spot for. It's an important part in our lives, and it's kind of got brought into the spotlight recently because of one Myles Garrett. If you go back to that Players Tribune article, He basically gave a ringing endorsement for College Station through the lens that is Fuego.
Oh, yeah.
That he hopes not to return to College Station, not just, you know, to be back in Aggieland and soak in all that is Texas A&M, but he can go visit Fuego, the taco shop there at University and Texas here in town. And so that inspired us. I think that you and me are both you know, we enjoy the food down here in College Station. That's the thing that surprised me the most moving down here from a bigger city is that the eating here is pretty good.
Oh, yeah.
And
a little too much, I think, at times.
Something that we both enjoy is a good cheeseburger.
Mm-hmm.
So, along that same thread, I'm going to power rank the burgers. This is an experiment that I ran earlier when I moved here. I needed to find the best burger in town.
I believe Fuego, somebody posted, I don't know if it was Vice Sports, it wasn't Barstool, but somebody posted something. It was an article about Myles talking about tacos, and they posted a picture of a hard shell taco.
At oh.
And well, it wasn't a picture of Fuego. They just posted a picture of a hard shell taco and said that Miles Garrett loves tacos. No, 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 no. Not hard shell. It is very much in the tortilla, and that is what makes it delicious.
Can I throw out an unpopular opinion?
You like hard shell over soft?
I prefer a hard shell taco.
Oh, my gosh.
Prefer a hard shell taco over...
Well, not at Fuego.
Well, right, but just in general. Give me a hard shell taco from Taco C next door. Really over anything.
I can't even look at you right now. When I go to Torchy's,
I get the bowl. I get the taco bowl.
I can't even look at you, mainly because you got those ridiculous glasses
on.
Yeah,
I know.
And apparently, whatever Twitter handle this was that was tweeting about this, they ended up getting some queso. They're in New York, and Fuego sent them queso and chips.
Huh.
Because they were talking about it, and queso actually tweeted them back and was like, hey, bro, we don't mess with the hard shell around here. We straight soft, dog. Straight soft with queso.
Can we mark that
delicious
for future use?
Yeah, well, yeah. I can see how that could be used out of context as well. But, yeah, so Fuego for the win. But you're talking about burgers. Obviously, there are a ton of great burgers rounds about these parts.
Would you be ready to present maybe your top five?
I can come up with five.
Or do you mean to go for? I mean, I pretty much have mine squared away.
Go ahead. You go first because you've been here for not as long as me, but you've gotten experience.
Sure. Well, let me think about. I'm going to think about this backwards because I don't want to reveal the number one until the end. Let me just throw there's a sub level of number five that I had to kind of lump in all together because they're good. All of these places are good, but they're just not my favorite burger.
Okay.
I mean, the chicken.
Okay.
I'm gonna hear unpopular opinion here. I feel like this is probably one of the town's power ranked best burgers. But I'm gonna throw Copy Bridge just kind of in that number five level.
What? Oh, okay. All right. So you got Copy Bridge and the chicken tied for five?
Yeah. I'm trying to think if there's any other one that just kind of is more like kind of an honorable mention.
I'm interested
level.
To see who you got at number four, if you got those at five.
I am too interested because if I counted wrong, Copy Bridge might sneak in at number four.
Yeah.
Number four would be... Yeah, no, number four. Not sorry, this is making great radio. Actually, I don't think Copy Bridge will make the top four. So number four is probably going to be Grub Burger.
Okay.
Which is a little bit of a cheat because it's kind of, I know it started here, but it is a, it has a chain. And they were in Dallas. I ate at Grub in Dallas all the time when I was up there. So, but I love me a
It started
Grub
here?
Burger.
I didn't know that.
I believe it did.
Interesting.
Don't quote me on that, but I believe it started here. So that's why I'm going to include it. Number three, the Proudest Monkey in Bryan.
Yes.
It's a solid burger, and I'm going to go ahead and lump just amazing French fries into that category because the Proudest Monkey is a great, great burger.
And you were correct about Grub Burger starting at Texas A&M or in College Station.
There you go. Number two, Blackwater Draw.
Okay.
It's a solid burger up there at Blackwater Draw.
Okay.
And number one, can I get into drum roll over there? Number one, Harvey Washbangers.
I already knew you were going to say Harvey Washbangers.
I knew you were going to say that. Now, if you look at the thread amongst the top, the common thread amongst the top two, the best burgers to me have that kind of sweet sourdough, almost Hawaiian bread bun.
Mm-hmm.
And both Harvey Washbangers and, not Copy Bridge, Blackwater Draw have that kind of bun.
Yeah.
That makes the burger for me. So those two are my... Harvey Washbangers is just one of my favorite places in town.
Plus, they do specialty burgers. They do all kinds of crazy stuff with them.
Sure.
All
right.
Okay.
It's on you now.
All right. It's all on me. Well, mine's going to be a little bit different. I still have quite a few of the names that you listed, but they are in a different order. Number five would be the Tap.
Ooh, I forgot about the Tap. Have that bun I like, too. They have
one
of those kind of sourdough buns.
Yeah, they got the sourdough buns over there.
Yeah.
The Tap has a pretty dang solid burger.
Put a tap in there with the tie with the Private
Well, no,
Monkey.
No. You can't start okay. going doing crazy stuff here.
Okay.
You got to
okay,
stick with
right.
what you said.
You're right.
Okay. Number four, Mickey Sliders.
Mickey Sliders!
Of which we have eaten there numerous times.
Forgot about Mickey Sliders.
And they can count too. Because a slider is a miniature burger.
Yeah, you're right.
So Mickey Sliders at number four. Number three is the chicken. I got
okay.
the chicken at number three.
I'm gonna question you here. Is that actually for taste of burger, or is there sentimental Aggie value that you have to throw that in?
Do they have to be separate? Are we doing? You didn't say just
strictly. It doesn't have to be separate. I'm just wanting to clarify.
I go there for the food and the ambiance. That is the Dixie Chicken.
So the
and also
the surround nope. the warmth that you feel from the. From eating at the chicken, in
I know it's
little
made,
Aggie heart makes the burger taste.
I know it's
big.
Made with love, so
okay.
therefore, I have the chicken at number three.
Okay, fair enough.
Number two, Harvey Washbangers.
Nice quality.
Harvey Washbangers number two.
And if you go to Harvey Washbangers, there's a little life hack. Go to Harvey Washbangers. Ask them for a little side cup of queso. It'll cost you 50 cents, but they'll give you a little side little cup of queso, and you can dip your fries in it, and it is great queso.
So,
queso fries.
I got the Washbangers at number two. Number one. You going to drum roll for me? You just going to leave me hanging like that? Go ahead. Drink
I'm
your drink.
Drinking some Dr.
Drink your Cold. Drink.
All right.
The one. The only. Cuppy Bridge! Yes, I have Copy Bridge at number one. The people that you put at number five, I say poo on you, sir. Copy Bridge is number one. I ain't going to put Grub Burger on there. They're too dang expensive.
Copy Bridge is...
Don't you say anything bad about Copy Bridge. Copy Bridge
is
wonderful.
It's good, but it's just so plain.
Well, you don't get... I've seen you. You don't get anything on your burger. You get like...
Cheese,
and that's it.
I respect the flavor of the meat and the bun so much.
So you don't want to put lettuce and tomato on
it
because that's going to, yeah, whatever.
Yeah, so.
No. Copy Bridge, if you are looking for the best bang for your buck and you want to get a big old honking burger to fill you up right, you go to Copy Bridge, sir.
No, you go to Washbangers.
Because those burgers are freaking huge. If you want a specialty burger, you go to Washbangers.
Okay.
If you want just a plain, well, not plain, but if you want an original, you get Harvey Washbanger, Copy Bridge.
See, I mean, nothing wrong with Copy Bridge. Copy Bridge is solid. It's just I've noticed that is the overwhelming opinion of everyone in town is that Copy Bridge is that place to go.
Well, you're an outsider, so that makes sense then.
I know. And I appreciate your sentimental burger value. I mean,
did I say it was all sentimental with Copy Bridge?
No,
I did
we're talking
not.
About the chicken. We're talking about the chicken.
Oh,
we're back
yeah.
to
yeah.
Chicken.
Well, the chicken has a good burger, too.
It's not bad. It's not bad. But, you know, I get it. But up in Fort Worth, there's a little joint called Dutch's that would rank high in my all-time burger lists. And there's some sentimental value in that. So I get that. But... Man, I tell you what, if you want a burger in this town, it's Harvey Washbangers.
And so you talked about Grub Burger. I think I've been to Grub Burger maybe once or twice because it is a little pricey. I didn't have a bad experience. I really enjoyed the food. It's been so long, I don't even know if I can remember. So they might could sneak in there. But the Tap has very good burgers. Mickey Sliders, which is a College Station original. Even though I think that's the only store, there's the only Mickey Sliders is in College Station. But they got a lot of specialty stuff.
Yeah.
So there's some good meat to be had in Bryan College Station.
Here's another point. Here's another hot sports take that I've developed on burgers.
Okay.
Why in this town, that has so many wonderful burger options, would you go to Fuddruckers? Because I drive by that place often.
Is the parking lot ever full?
It's been full. Because here's the deal. I have discovered, kind of swerving off onto a whole nother tangent here, I discovered the greatness of Sweet Eugene's coffee shop there. I'm a big...
Oh, yeah.
I'm going to let my little Dallasite snob self show for a second here and say that I am a big coffee shop connoisseur.
Go to a venti. A venti? So just 20. You got to say venti?
Oh, sure. Sure. I was about to say that that's not a word for coffee shop. That means 20.
Yeah. I don't know what it means. Dadgummit. I've seen shows where people are in coffee shops, so I know.
Okay. Well, I enjoy a good coffee shop, and Sweet Eugene's is a quality coffee shop.
I have
shop.
Been to Sweet Eugene's.
So I
it
go
is
over
nice.
There, and that parking lot for Fuddruckers is full. And I mean, Fuddruckers isn't terrible, but it's very generic, and it's very expensive for
yes,
what you get.
It's very
and
pricey.
So I just wonder why on earth would you ever go to Fuddruckers in this town?
Maybe it's the option to be able to put together your own burger. They cook it, but then you can put the lettuce, the tomatoes, the toppings, everything that you'd like. You do that yourself. It's kind of like buying a Papa Murphy's pizza. Why on earth would I want to buy a pizza that then I would then have to cook?
Yeah.
Because I am part of the process. I become one with the pizza.
Uh-huh.
And so I think that's the difference maker right there. But I agree with you that that there are better options in this town besides Fuddruckers.
Yeah, yeah. So... It's a little bit of burger talk.
Burger talk.
Maybe we'll power rank like pizzas or something here in an upcoming episode.
Ooh, we could do pizzas. We could do lots of stuff. We could do barbecue. Obviously, that would be number one.
Yeah.
But yeah, there are some good eats round about this town. Good eats for college kids, which is good because we're basically we make a little bit more than college kids do, which is a little bit more than nothing. So. We got that going for us, and we can afford some different places.
Sure, sure. And, I mean, we could power rank wings places, but it's basically just 1 through 5.
It's,
wings
yeah,
and
it's
more.
Wings and more and everybody else.
Yeah, basically. So that's not even an argument. So anyway.
We do have time, though, if you want to talk about your show, because we're basically just kind of
my show
shooting the you-know-what around on this. Yeah, 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 your Young Pope show.
My Young Pope show.
Because apparently it got real, real crazy.
It's just too deep. It's so dense.
It's too deep. You literally told me today that it is too dense. You have to think too much to be able to watch it sometimes. Or
you do.
That's because I told you that I couldn't get into it, and I didn't like watching anymore. Well, it's really dense. You have to think a lot when you watch it.
I will put The Young Pope in probably one of my top three favorite shows of all time.
Are you serious?
Yes.
Really?
But I was saying it, how much I enjoyed it. There were times that I was behind, you know, I hadn't watched it yet, and I just, you know, long day of work, I was tired, and I just didn't want to go there because I knew that I was going to have to focus in.
Wait, you told me you haven't seen Breaking Bad yet.
No, I haven't.
And you just started Mad Men.
Yes, just started Mad Men.
Well, no wonder it's in your top three of TV shows. You haven't seen anything good. Do you ever watch Sons of Anarchy?
No.
Oh, my gosh. Okay.
No,
all right.
But it is a quality show. You should check it out.
I was trying to follow it around, and it just kind of drug out.
Yeah, okay, so it's made by an Italian director.
Which I really like spaghetti westerns. So.
Not even going to, like, recognize that as actual humor.
Okay.
But the... So it's very artsy. Like I think there's a lot of from what I can glean from it, I think there's a lot of scenes that maybe don't necessarily mean a whole lot for the plot, just otherwise to make a good image. I mean, yes, it adds to the plot because something happens, but it gets a little bit crazy. There's a scene in the last episode when this young pope is sitting at his dining table, faced with some tough decisions, and all of a sudden, like a whole company of like 13 former popes are all just kind of standing around the table staring at him, all dressed up in their fancy garments, you know, looking at him, and he just kind of has this conversation with them about getting some advice from them. And, of course, that didn't really happen, but it set up like he was sitting physically talking to popes of the past.
It's a lot of, like, dream-type sequences.
Sure,
where
sure.
Where stuff is happening that's not actually happening.
Sure, and it's very metaphorical. And so, yeah, it's extremely deep. And if you're hoping for a payoff, I don't think this is too much of a spoiler alert, but in the little conversations they have with the director on those little things afterwards— a whole lot of what he's getting at is that your religious life is kind of private. And so there's a lot of things to be left up to the interpretation of the audience, and things that are supposed to be kind of left in secret. And so, but that's kind of cool. I kind of liked it that way, because it kind of lets you shape what you want to think about the young Pope. And
I still can't get over, though, it just seems so far-fetched in that a 40-something-year-old American is nominated as Pope.
That's what gave you the most trouble?
I just can't. I mean, obviously, there's a lot of fiction to it, but I can't wrap my mind around that part. It has to be somewhat believable. Like, let me say, for instance, an FX show. My mind just went blank on the show. It's about a guy whose father is a dictator of a Middle Eastern country. You know what I'm talking about?
No.
What's the name of that stupid show? Now I can't even remember it. But at first, I thought it was a great idea. I was like, man, I'm excited about this show because it presents a lot of different possibilities. But the guy, so an American is living, he's living in America, and his nephew is about to get married.
Okay.
And his father is the dictator of a Middle Eastern country. And so he goes back with his family. He's a doctor in Pasadena, California. And he goes with his family back to this Middle Eastern country. It's made up. And while he's there, his father dies. So then his brother assumes power as the president. And the country's name is Abu Dhabi. Well, his brother is kind of a jackass. And long story short, he ends up usurping his brother as the ruler of this country. And then it goes into politics and stuff. But he doesn't speak with an accent. He grew up in this country. He speaks perfectly good English, no accent whatsoever. He's very hard to believe as a guy who came from the... It's just... And he ends up taking over from his brother in the first season. It just... To me, it didn't play out the way that I wanted it to. And I kind of lost interest after that. I couldn't stick around with it. I've watched some episodes, but it just kind of keeps dragging out.
Well, how many episodes did you get in?
Well, I got a couple seasons in.
No, okay. Oh, I get. I'm switching back to the young Pope now.
Oh, four.
Yeah, stick with it. I mean, okay, get this. This is the probably one of the pinnacle moments of the whole series. You have where he finally addresses the Cardinals after being named Pope, something that is drug out longer than a normal Pope would necessarily do, because he was kind of searching for what to say. And he has the papal tiara, which is this giant space-looking crown sent back from New York, where it's at the Smithsonian or something like that. And so he's like, he finally says, "I'm ready to address the Cardinals." And it cuts to the Cardinals kind of processing down these stairs and going into the Sistine Chapel. And as it happens, on the soundtrack of the show fires on Sexy and I Know It by LMFAO. And it's a whole dressing montage where he puts on all of the, you know, garments and rings and gloves and shoes and everything of, you know, a very fancy Pope, to the beat of Sexy and I Know It, and it's actually hilarious.
See, but I just...
And then the final cut scene, after he's all dressed and, you know, whatever, it cuts to then him, because it's the whole show is about his kind of dichotomy of character that he has, and these two different things. It shows him getting so dressed up and fancy and everything like that, and then it cuts straight to him right before he goes into this big speech, standing outside in all of his Pope garbed, where he can barely move, wearing sunglasses with the Pope garb, and then just smoking a cigarette. And then it goes into the scene. So you have to understand that the whole show is about analyzing that even these people who are supposed to be incredibly good people, they're people, so that they have a bad side too.
And showing all their flaws.
And showing that there's a conflict with every kind of person. There's several different things trying to be told in the show. That's one of them, is that he is a contradiction in himself, and that there's these contradictory points like that of getting dressed up and being in this fancy garb, and then just smoking a cigarette kind of in bad posture outside while wearing all this stuff before he goes and makes this. So anyway.
By the way, Tyrant is the name of the show I was thinking of. I don't know why I couldn't remember it. I've watched the first three or four seasons, but I end up losing it because it just seems so far-fetched. Now, that being said, I was telling you about a show that I'm watching now that you haven't caught on to yet, and that's Taboo.
Mm-hmm.
With Tom Hardy. He and his dad wrote it, and it's a really interesting show. And they've also gone, I think that they're trying to stay at least historically accurate when it comes to a lot of things. And if you're into that sort of thing, like going back in time, again, this is supposed to be around the War of 1812 in London. And historically, it looks a lot like it. But also, you have all these different storylines, and there's a lot of guessing to it, too, because stuff doesn't just leap out to you. You see stuff, and you're thinking, what on earth is going on here? Because it'll do kind of flashbacks sometimes, things mm-hmm. like that. And he's also has visions and things. And just
of Sugar Plum's dancing in his head?
Yes, okay, so to speak. But it's a really interesting show. So I recommend that. I'm sure there is a way that I can find old episodes of The Young Pope. I will do my best to try and get into it.
There you go. Well, talk about dichotomy, too. Going from the dense, high intellectual value of The Young Pope. I
Step Brothers.
Well, I love that movie, but this past weekend went and saw the Lego Batman movie.
Oh,
and
yeah,
it is comedic genius. So if you, I won't get too much into it because there's not a whole lot to get into it other than the fact that
it's a Lego.
Absolutely hilarious.
Okay,
absolutely hilarious. So Lego Batman, go see it. Anyway, we're all out of time for our ramblings today. We did ramble a little bit, but you know we'll blame it on my lack of vision, both physically and mentally towards the podcast today. But we have Texas A&M baseball starting up this weekend, so we'll definitely get into how they look next week and the continuation of softball. It's going to get busy around these parts here for the next couple of weeks as basketball season winds to a close and baseball and softball season get fired up here in College Station and get rolling. So we'll be back with plenty of sports talk on those subjects next week. So this week, go catch some of those games. Maybe go have a burger down here in College Station. You'll know where to go now and also know what to turn on your TV
and
from
we may,
this week.
May very well be there too.
So exactly. Exactly.
You see us, say hey.
If I can see my teacher to drive there, then yes, well, I'll be there. Anyway, that's it for this week's My Aggie Nation podcast. Like I said, go out there, watch some baseball, watch some softball, get a burger, have a cold drink on us, and we, not on us, but for us. And we will see you next week here on the My Aggie Nation podcast.
It seems like every day, everything just has a way to must have it seems. But if we don't watch what we're doing, our hearts will get ruined by silly things. Good love ain't easy, girl, we know that's true. But if we wanna keep it, we gotta watch everything that we do, yeah, yeah. I wanna make sure my baby, make sure you're sticking with me. Don't want